I'd like to invite you over to the book of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. The New Testament book of Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 reads this way. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we ask for your blessing that you would guide us into your truth. Lord, for the filling of your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in truth and spirit. And again, Lord, that you would be highly exalted and our hearts and minds opened up to hear your truth this morning. And Lord, that we might have a revelation, a greater understanding of our relationship with you. Lord, the relationship that you want to have with each and every one of us. Bless the message, Lord. Bless the service and each one that's here. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Removed from Him That Called You. Removed from Him That Called You. And I just want to make a couple little comments here, remarks. And that is that it is possible, unfortunately, for the child of God to be removed from the truth. It's also possible, in fact, it is the truth, that unless the Holy Spirit convicts us and guides us, we won't find the truth of God. And the truth of God is the truth. There is no other truth. It's all wrapped up in God. There are people that think that they're believing
and an idea that's truth to them, but they're missing the truth completely that brings peace, liberty, freedom, and fulfillment of and purpose of what life is really all about. A lot of people ask that question, what is the purpose of life? Well, look at your own life and you'll see the purposes in your life. I mean, that's why you're living today, and that's you have goals and you have different accomplishments and different ideas that you want to do in your life. But the greatest purpose, the best purpose, is a relationship with God. That's the only relationship that will bring fulfillment in this and on this side of eternity and in the world yet to come that's going to be forever. And that's a great rejoicing that we have. The main truth that we're gonna notice here, in fact, found in the whole book of Galatians, is the exchange of God's work, also known as truth, for man's traditions. We can pick up on traditions, and if they're not founded upon the Word of God, and if they're just of mankind, then we're not going to find fulfillment in life, and we're not going to find satisfaction that God would intend for you and I to enjoy. And by the way, will the traditions of man ever equal or bring the righteousness of God? Can man ever please in his own strength and his own might? Can he ever please God? No. Listen, everything that you have, as we studied a little bit about this in Sunday school, right at the end there, has been given to you by the Lord. The next breath that you take has been given to you and I by God, has it not? The next heartbeat. Listen, all that you have has been given to you by the Lord, and whatever you do with it, it is your choice. Oh, but God will bless it as it's put into his hands, beginning with eternal life. God wants to give you and I eternal life. Our righteousness, the Bible says, and this is the truth. Let me ask you this question. Do people in our day and age do good things? That's a hard question to answer if you think about it for a little bit. Do they do good things? Let me qualify it. Do they do good things according to man? Does mankind do good things according to man? They might give of themselves, they might give money to help people, and all different kinds of things that can be done that mankind or the world would look at and say, that is a good thing. But all of those good things in the sight of God, because we're marred with sin, God calls unrighteous. So this whole idea that God's going to weigh out my good and my bad, here's the news for you. All of it's bad. Without Christ, it's all bad. It's all been marred. Even the best that we have has been marred. So how are we to glorify the Lord? I'm glad you asked. God gives us his righteousness. And listen, how does that all happen? Well, first of all, we have to realize this, that we're imperfect. How far do you have to think on that one? We're imperfect human beings. Not only that, but we are sinners. We commit sins. And a lot of times people don't understand what sins are. But I will tell you, a five-year-old understands what's wrong. They just don't understand what sin is or not ready to receive it or understand it. You can ask a five-year-old, tell me, what is sin or what's wrong? And they'll tell you, won't they? Lying, cheating, right? Being mean. And then you will ask them, oh, have you ever done that? And they might say, oh, no. I've never done that. And boy, at two or three, when they begin to walk around and crawl around, what's one of the first arguments that you see between two little toddlers? Mine. 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 And why is that? Because it's our nature. See? And even if you try to do good things in the sight of God, now in the sight of man, that's something completely different, but in the sight of God, it's not acceptable. Because we have fallen from the grace of God because of Adam and Eve. So we are just picking up on the sin seed nature that's been passed along through all generations. Mankind is selfish. That's just typical, right? And even as a child of God, we have to be reminded about the Spirit of God, or we can be selfish as well. We can go down the wrong path. That's why the Word of God has been given to us, so that we might say, hey, wait a minute, this is not how I'm supposed to walk. And so all of a sudden you find mankind trying to justify themselves, and what they need to realize is and only God brings that conviction, that their righteousness will never be good enough, but God wants to give us His. How does He do that? Well, He gives us His righteousness by us realizing there's nothing we can do that will justify us. God's not going to weigh it out. But He did give us His Son, even better, that paid for how many of our sins? All of them. Past, present, and future. There was a lady who had a hard time with that. She was listening to this preacher preach, and at the end, she said, she caught him at the door and said, "You know, I can understand how God can forgive my present sins, but how can He forgive my past and my goodness and my future sins?" Well, she said, the pastor said, "Well, did the Lord die for your sins?" "Well, yes, but I don't understand that." "Well, how long ago did Jesus Christ die for your sins?" And she said, "About 2,000 years ago." And he said, "How many of your sins at that point were still present?" "All of them. Hadn't been born yet." "Did he die for your sins?" Regardless whether we understand it or not, that's one thing. But God died to pay for all of our sins. He shed His blood. That we might be righteous. Amen. Not because of us, but because of Him. So what happens? God wants us just to realize that He died in your place and mine. And by faith, you can equate that word faith by trust. I trust you, God. Because I believe, I don't know why, but in my heart of hearts, you know what I believed even before I got saved? God is not a liar. I believe that. God is holy. There's no sin in God. I didn't have to have anybody tell me that. I knew that. You know why? Because God created me. Now, I could have rejected that truth and said, "No, I don't know about God." Oh, no. Yes, everybody does. Everybody knows that they didn't just pop up out of thin air. There's a Creator. And so as we put our faith and trust in Him, He begins to reveal and show us. He reveals His free pardon of sin. To everybody, that happens in different ways. But there's a peace that passes understanding that's given, that you are now born again and you are a child of the King of Kings. What love, the Bible says, the Father has bestowed upon us. He's given to us. Have you stopped to fathom that thought? The best illustration I have several friends that I grew up since I was 6, turning 7. I can still remember that. But I have some friends. And you know what? I would do almost anything for them, for my friends. But I would not give one of my children in their place if they were condemned to prison. I couldn't do it. If the judge said, "Listen, they're in for life. But if you give me one of your children, we'll exchange their freedom for theirs." Could you do it? I couldn't do it. And then the judge says, "Well, but wait a minute, not just that, but they're going to have to die and shed their blood and die." I couldn't do it. But do you know that the Bible tells us that God gave His Son for you and I while we were yet sinners? Do you see the difference there? That's the love of God. See, it was the love of God that moved Him. It was the love of God for you and I that moved Him to offer up His Son. I can say like David did, "Who am I, Lord?" I could not do that for my best friend. I certainly wouldn't do it for an enemy. Would you? And so God gave us His Son. This truth is life-changing. This truth makes all the difference in our relationship and our understanding to who God is. And then He opens up more truth to us. And as we consider this, all of a sudden, this church here in Galatia, they were believers in the Lord. They went backwards. They went away from that. Where would you go? What other faith? Tell me, what other faith? There is no other faith. There is no other truth. But where would you go? Do you want someone to tell you that, "Listen, you've got to do this every day and that every day if you're going to make it"? Because that's basically all the other religions. There's no other faith, there's no other truth, but God who spoke everything into being. Amen. And he will be the first one to tell you it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. Like, almost like, well, it's what God intended to with your love for your mom and dad and for those that you love, because he's our Heavenly Father. So I want to take a look at just a couple of things here this morning. I want you to see the purpose of Christ, first of all, and then we'll look at being removed from grace, and then the dangers of pleasing men. So look at verse 1 right here. Notice the purpose of Christ. By the way, it's the work of God, which is the resurrection. What makes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ different than every other religion? And that is, there's only one Savior that rose from the dead. That's it. Paul, verse 1, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. That's important. Everything that you will get from God will not be of men or by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Is that not the resurrection? So that's the resurrection. But not only that, but we find God's grace and peace in us. He says this in verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So he's speaking to several churches that are in this area of Galatia. He says, grace be to you and peace, not the world's, but from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is God's peace to us. And then notice this, a deliverance that glorifies God. In verse 4, it says, who gave himself for our sins. You see, that's plural, right? That's all of them. All of our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That God would deliver us. Not just give us eternal life, but deliver us from the trappings of the world. Well, what's the trappings of the world? Well, I've mentioned this in the past, when the news says this and the news says that, and everybody's running here and there like chickens with their heads cut off and worried about everything, that's not God's direction. Now, we're in the world and we're to function in the world, but in a way that glorifies the Lord with his peace. That the world might see, my goodness, don't you see everybody running around? Why are you walking? Don't you see everybody going crazy and mad at everybody and everything? Why aren't you? Well, let me tell you about the rock I'm standing on that paid the price for all of us. See, it's not this group and that group and this group over here and that group over there. It's all of us. That's liberating. Amen? Bible says we're all of one blood. It's the world and the lie of the devil that wants to bring death and destruction. And unfortunately, we are prone to fall into that. But God wants to pull us out of that. Listen, we're in it, but we're not of it, the world. So he says, he gave himself, verse 4, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That's what the world needs. That's what we need. And that's what the world will be blessed by. According to the will of God and our Father. Isn't that good? To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So this is the deliverance that glorifies the Lord in your life and mine. And then I want you to see here, removed from grace. And by the way, it's a shock to the Apostle Paul. Notice this. He says, I marvel, verse 6, I'm surprised, I'm taken that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So he's shocked. Why? Because it was a quick departure from the grace of God. Do you remember when the Lord said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many of his disciples didn't walk with them anymore. Now, I will tell you, that's confusing. It would have been confusing. It could have been taken physically or literally, but that's not what the Lord meant. He was talking about his sacrifice. But there was 12 of the disciples that just stuck around. And the Lord asked them, are you also going to leave? And here's what the disciples said. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Tell me any other better deal that you've been given than to understand that you are a sinner and that the Son of God paid for all your sins. Tell me any other better deal that is receivable and attainable. Tell me any better deal. There's nobody out there telling you. The devil doesn't have anything to offer you, and he's the one that's over all the other religions. You know why? Listen, and people might be offended at that, but the truth is that all the other religions take you away from Christ. And he is the redeemer of the world. And without him, there is no redemption. So we, by faith, put our trust in him. Look at all the other religions and realize they're requiring something of you that you cannot pay. You can't pay it. And so Paul's scratching his head and saying, where have you gone? Where did you go? And by the way, if it happened to the Galatian church or the churches of Galatia, is it possible to have it happen to the churches of America? Well, I'm afraid to say it has. Why do you say that? Because the world isn't being turned upside down with the love and truth of God that changes the hearts of man. God doesn't just want us to go around saying, yeah, somewhere, sometime, I made a decision for Christ. You didn't make a decision. If that's all you have, you better talk to the Lord. I was born again. God convicted me of my sin. I was undone. And God extended his mercy and his grace. And I was the recipient of that and had been forgiven for my sins. And he put my feet on a path in another direction. Now, I can fail in that direction. But I will tell you, there's no other place to go that will give you peace that passes understanding and an assurance that God wants everybody to have. So it's not that we're making a decision for God. I didn't even know there was a decision to be made. All of a sudden, I'm driving down. I had this fellow I was training to do electroencephalograms and evoke potentials. I was working for neurodiagnostic consultants down in Miami, Florida. And that place is unbelievable anymore. It was bad then, but... And we're driving from hospital to hospital doing different tests. And he says to me, he says, so tell me, what do you think life is really all about? So I told him what I thought life was all about. Get a good job. Make lots of money. Have a family. Take care of them. What else? Well, maybe make this investment. What else? Well, maybe do, and what else? Take a vacation. What else? And so I told him, then you die. And then he said, and then what? And then what? I scratched my head on that one. I thought I had all the answers. I said, I don't know what. And he began to tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know what my first response was? Not interested. Just like that. Not interested. You think I shut him up? Yeah, I did for a moment. Thank God he didn't quit. I'm telling you, my eternal soul was at stake, and I was so wise in my own understanding, I was going to split hell wide open. And so he came back around a day or two later. So what happens after this life? And man, it just weighed heavy on me. And it was God opening up my eyes. I said, I don't know, you tell me. And he was willing to tell me. He said, well, this is what you can have. This is what you have right now. This is what you can have. This is what God wants to give you. What do you have? I didn't know what I had. And so it got to, for 2 weeks, every time we'd get in the car, his name was Aldo. I'd say, Aldo, open up the Bible. We have 20 minutes to get to the next destination. And he kept reading out of the Word of God. And I became friends with him. I liked him. Didn't at first. I thought, boy, I got a religious fanatic to teach. And it was Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. My whole mind, if I was going to make it to heaven, God was going to weigh it out for me. No, he wasn't. Because all of my good were as filthy rags in his sight. And I don't understand it, but he brought that to such a clear understanding in my heart and mind. I knew that I was condemned. And I wasn't standing before Aldo. I was standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. In my heart and my mind, I was standing before an almighty God condemned. Here's my prayer. Ready? Oh God, save me. That was it. And this will take you. I didn't even say it out loud. I didn't even say it out loud. I said it in my heart and my mind. If I said it out loud, I don't know. But I felt like the spotlight of God on May 8th, 1987, at 9 o'clock at night, was so strong at night that I said, oh God, save me. And I will tell you, I don't know how much time transpired, but the grace of God flooded my soul, gave me the understanding that I had been forgiven for all of my sins. Here's what came out of my lips. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I would have never said that in public. I said that going down US 1 for about 15 or so minutes, thanking the Lord, going about 35 on a 45, three lanes going each way, north and south. And so my friend said, I just paused for a moment. He said, hey, there's a 7-Eleven right here. Do you want to pull in? I'll get us a couple of sodas. I said, that sounds good. I pulled in, and he went in, and I was just relishing the moment. I'm like, you changed me, God. You changed my destination. You are real. I mean, I believe that you are real, but I know you're real. So my friend Aldo comes out with two sodas and a little heart pin, little red heart pin in white. It said, Jesus loves you. I said, Aldo, where'd you get that? You know, 7-Elevens, they're Bible bookstores, right? 7-Elevens. You can always find biblical things, especially in Miami, of all places. You find all kinds of biblical things. No. This is what he said to me. He said, I went up to pay for the two sodas, and it was sitting on top of the counter. And I asked the clerk how much for that. He looked at it like he'd never seen it before. He said, I don't know, give me a buck. So I thought I'd buy it so you'd remember this day. I've never forgotten that day. When he told me that, I took notice of the time. Do you know why? Because it was real. And it was worth more than anything I have ever been given on this side of eternity. And Paul says to them, I'm taken that you're so far removed from the truth. I marvel. I'm surprised. Later on, he says, who's bewitched you? Who's put a spell on you to believe that? You know what? It would be a spell on me to believe anything different. For 35 years since that time, I haven't forgotten what God has done for me. I will tell you, unfortunately, there have been times that I've not been faithful like I could have been. But you know, I'll tell you, I am glad to tell you this. God has never been unfaithful in spite of me. He's always been faithful. His mercy's always been true. His love has always been true. His grace has always been true. He has never moved one bit in spite of me. That's the love of God. That's the patience of God, the long-suffering of God. You know, he could have taken me. He would have had the right to have taken me home more than once. Not because it was anything outlandish or anything like that, but because it wasn't walking with him. But he's very gracious and kind. So look what he says here. He's shocked. In fact, look at verse 6 again. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel. And then he says this, which is not another, that means there is no other, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of God, Christ. They would pervert it. When it's perverted, it's ruined. It's twisted. It's not the truth anymore. verse 9. In fact, look at verse 8, I'm sorry. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, remember he said, but there is no other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say now, I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. Is that found in the Word of God? Do you know what the Bible says about taking anything out of the Word of God or adding anything to the Word of God? They're condemned forever. That's why he's saying that. There is no other gospel. If you've heard something other than what you're hearing this morning, it's not the truth. You cannot be good enough and yourself to make heaven. It is a gift of God that he paid for completely, or you don't have it. And some might say, well, isn't that a little strong? Isn't that a little bit unkind? Listen, condemnation in hell is awfully unkind. It would be better for me to tell the truth and somebody be offended and think about it than to not be told at all. I am so glad. Listen, when Aldo witnessed to me, when I told him I don't want to hear it, I was not happy. I dare say I was offended. Thank God. Because I was blind and could not see that he didn't give up on me. That he spoke, God spoke to Aldo's heart and mind. Don't give up on him. Don't give up on him. And may I tell you, God says that about everybody. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish. Even Judas, when he came to betray the Lord, Jesus, look it up, called him friend when he betrayed the Lord. And Judas, not knowing it, he betrayed himself when he betrayed the Lord. And then notice the dangers of pleasing men. For do I now persuade men or God? Verse 10. Or do I please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Did you see that? Listen. You can't be a man pleaser and be the servant of Christ. How quick we are, because of the pressure, to not be the servant of Christ and try to please man. Mankind does not hold the truth. They distort it and pervert it. I would dare say the world would have told you that I was a nice guy. I didn't hurt anybody. I was just trying to make a living at the age of 24 years old. Just trying to make a living before I got saved. Wasn't a bad guy. Oh no. I was a sinner in the eyes of God, condemned already. God was just trying to show me the light that makes the difference. And you know what I said to God? No thanks. You know what the world's going to say to God? Don't want to hear it. And you know what God doesn't want us to do? Oh, okay. God doesn't want us to do that. Now, he doesn't want us to be unkind about it. But he does want his light to shine through your life and mine. See, he doesn't just want us to tell people about it if the life isn't been changed. Now, you can try and do that. But listen, it's a crying shame for believers to talk like the world and act like the world and expect that the world's going to listen. You're just like us. You talk like us. You look like us. You act like us. When this happens, you do the same thing we do and live like there is no God. Why should we listen? You know what they'll call us? Hypocrites! And maybe that's why a lot of Christians don't tell people about the Lord. Because they're afraid of what people might say because the life doesn't match up. By the way, it's not our work. It's God's work in us that makes the life match up. See, he didn't ask me to do anything but receive him. And I did, for eternal life. He's still not asking me to do anything but receive the truth that he's given me a new life and that he's made me a new creature. Very quickly, and we'll finish up here. Look at verse 11. But I certify you. You know what it means to be certified, right? That's a certification of the power of grace. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man. Did you see that? He received it. He didn't do anything for it. It was handed to him. He took it. Same thing that happened to anybody that was saved. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you see that? It was a revelation. He got a revelation, didn't he? I did too. And you did too if you're saved. If you didn't get a revelation, I'm not trying to scare you, but I am trying to warn you. You don't possess eternal life. If you think it's dependent upon you, you've missed it completely. I would tell that to anybody. In a nutshell, that's what Aldo told me. And it brought the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God and caused me to see, oh God, I'm undone. Here all along, I was thinking, I'm not a bad person. And God's saying, you're condemned to death. You're a sinner. And all the good that you do, the Lord says, doesn't count for a hill of beans. I guess a hill of beans is not that valuable, but whatever it is, it's not going to gain you favor with God. It won't gain you favor with God. But the grace of God will. And how will that come? By asking God to open up our hearts and minds. God, show me. And by the way, for the believer, it's the same way. God, you've called me to a new life. It's by revelation. It's by receiving. And by, no, it's right there in verse 12. Notice, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but notice, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our walk with Christ. He's speaking to believers. He says, this is how you get it. You want to know how to live the victorious life? You want to know where the difference is made? For Christ, it's by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what I'm afraid of? That the churches of America are like this church. They've grown spiritually dead because now they're looking to the traditions of men. I wonder if they're even hungering or thirsting like God wants them to for the truth. We'll just kind of mark it off, you know? I went to church. Where's Christ? Are we missing him in our lives? Because that's where the difference is made. Again, the title this morning is Removed from Him That Called You. If you're here and you're saved, are you excited about the truth of God's word? Do you feed on it? I mean, do you long for it? Are you looking forward to it when you get home to open up the word of God and talk to God and ask God more, Lord, of your grace in my life that I might see you and experience the love of God? Again, Paul was speaking to the churches of Galatia that were removed from him that called them, from Jesus. Maybe that's why the world is in darkness, but America doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. Columbia is in darkness, our city here, but it doesn't have to be. What did God say? If the world will call me, or if my people? Are the people of God, is it important to call? Where are we at, oh God, that you might work your will in me? That's how God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven through you and I. But if it's not happening, the Spirit of Christ is what? Love, gentleness, meekness, kindness, long-suffering, all these things. Are these things fruitful in our life? Or we just put those off, I'm saved. Doesn't matter what happens now, I got heaven. I don't think that's the Spirit of Christ. Here's what the Spirit of Christ, that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's not willing that any should perish. Let me ask you, in your heart of hearts, not what you're doing or what God is doing, but are you really seeking God the way He wants us to? That's where the difference is made. The way He, are we enjoying, Are we walking with Christ the way he wants us to, or are we just walking the way we think he wants us to? There's a difference. And God wants to glorify himself in your life and mine. If we'll just receive it and ask him, he'll reveal it. Amen? Would you stand with me as we seek the Lord in prayer? God gives us an invitation, an opportunity today to draw closer or to trust him for the first time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that are revealed. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts concerning our own lives and how we stand and walk before you. And Lord, I pray that if we're failing in areas, that we cry out to you and call unto you and say, oh God, deliver me. You've promised it. I want to believe it and walk in that truth. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to experience it. God, have your will and your way. If there's anyone here that knows you not as Savior, may today be that day that they know you as Savior. And then, Lord, for those of us who know you, who've trusted you already, are you fulfilling? Are you walking in and through our lives? Are we seeking you, or are we seeking the world? Bless the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.